Leon Productions podcast, where we interview authors, speakers, and entrepreneurs. And today I have Melissa Roginski. She is the Rogo. Founder and president of RPC Strategies. Since 2004, colleagues and clients have described Melissa Rogo Roginski as a legal technology pioneer, marketing dynamo, business development expert, lead generation guru, and education and training innovator. She is a former litigation paralegal, legal technology sales executive, guest speakers with numerous paralegal schools and bar associations, SLE presenter and trainer, serial entrepreneur, 2015 Alabama Launchpad, small business grant competition, semi-finalist, 2016 ACEDS eDiscovery Person of the Year nominee, and is published in Legal Tech News and Marketing, the law firm. Rogo, welcome to this Leon Productions podcast.
You missed Rising Phoenix. You missed that my blood type is type A. That was quite a laundry list there, but thank you.
I took it from your website and I was like, man, this is really good biography. Let me read it out in your intro.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be here, St. Leon.
Yeah, there you go. So Melissa, tell us, give us a brief introduction of yourself and your background as a legal marketing expert.
Thank you. Thank you. So I've been in law for 28 years. As you said, I was a litigation paralegal for 11 years, and then I went back to school. So I've got a paralegal degree, and then I've got my undergrad in communications and marketing. And I went into sales with a legal technology company selling court reporting services, video and trial. Within a year, they were acquired by a fintech company who also acquired an e-discovery company. And that was where I learned how to network with my own colleagues and cross-sell. And just one thing led to another. The laws were changing about technology. And I know now, I didn't realize it then, but I was kind of part of a pioneering group in the field that we call e-discovery now, that also has spurred like data privacy, cybersecurity, AI. Now, obviously, is a big conversation right now. I mean, it's been around for a while, but it's got some new marketing, you know, gumption behind it right now. And yeah, so 11 years ago, my mom and I were facing some pretty critical health issues, and it gave me a reason to pivot. And I went into business for myself. I had been doing some educational programs. And so I created the ESI Roundtable, and I started doing e-discovery CLEs all over the country to second and third tier cities, because they weren't getting the resources that they needed. So there was a hole and I could fill it. And so that's how I got my start as an entrepreneur. You know, one thing led to another. My mom and I were, you know, battling our issues. Hers was terminal. And then, you know, several years later, I had to finally take a sabbatical, take a couple years off. And I came back as RPC Strategies in 2019, because law firms and tech vendors started asking for help. They called me and asked, can you please help me do for my company what you did for the roundtable? And it was my DIY marketing. And I'm really more of a sales personality. And so I figured out how to make sales work for me, because I hate cold calling and I hate throwing the spaghetti on the wall. And I don't want to waste my time. I just want to make money. So I figured out how to make marketing work for me, and it made my sales process easier.
How did you get into like the legal aspect and like the legal industry? What got you into it? Yeah.
I had a family member who was a lawyer, and just had a lot of respect and admiration for him. And I actually went to college on a music scholarship. You didn't know this about me. I'm classically trained, and I played French horn through junior high, high school, and college. And I was going to major in English and go on to law school. And then when I realized how long it would take for me to go through school, I realized I didn't want to spend that kind of time. I also understood I did not want the liability that comes with being a lawyer. And so I chose a paralegal path. And so I got a paralegal degree, because I thought to myself, it'll take me a couple of years to get this, and I'll always have a job. It's a stable career, and I'll do this for a while. And then when I figure out what I want to do, I can go back to college and finish my undergrad. And that's what I ended up doing.
Tell us about your story. I know that you're from Alabama. You're from Birmingham. I used to live in Birmingham. Obviously, there's lawyers in every town, every state. But Birmingham had a lot of good like legal culture, I would say. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts over the culture there when it comes to lawyers and legal industry?
You know, I'm one of the few people that will actually proudly and truthfully say that I love lawyers. It's been my career for 28 years. But yeah, the legal community really is something very special. You know, with the time that I took a sabbatical, I spent a couple of years working in other industries. I worked in fintech. I worked for a couple of fintech companies. Great people. But there's just something different about law and legal tech and law firms. There's a real strong sense of camaraderie. There's a real strong sense of belonging, of family. It's a really close community wherever you're at. And I certainly experienced that in Alabama. And when I launched the Roundtable, you know, that's a long story, but when the concept of turning it into giving birth to the Roundtable to begin with back in 2009, and then sitting down with some lawyers and judges at a table and coming up with this idea. And then several years later in 2012, when my mom got sick, turning it into a business and having that kind of support, I realized then that even in law, there's a hierarchy with the different, you know, roles that we have in law. But even back then, when this opportunity happened, I realized that I was being seen as an equal in a manner that I had not experienced before. And I also understood that I was being given a platform and a stage. And that if I said yes to this risk of going into business for myself and all that that entails, I knew that that gave me a platform for others. And I knew that I would be pioneering and blazing a new path because of technology in the legal field for others to have career opportunities that just never existed before technology.
What do you think about today's technology trends when it comes to marketing?
Okay, so let me tell everybody in your audience, if you're not in the legal field, hear what I have to say. Every time some shiny new technology squirrel comes out and everybody gets excited and everybody's rushing to go pet the squirrel, feed the squirrel, whatever it is, try to calm down and just in legal, we pay attention and we jump on board, but we're being more critical about it first. Give it 60 to 90 days and we'll start finding the holes with it. And that's exactly what you're seeing with ChatGPT right now and Bard and AI and these LLMs. You know, I don't know if you're paying attention to the news or not, ChatGPT is facing several lawsuits right now. You know, they're facing a defamation lawsuit. There's another lawsuit about violations of data privacy and all of this PII that they've collected because people jumped on board, they opened it up. People have been putting a lot of information in there. And the lawsuit, I'm not looking at it right now, but there was a quote in an article I read yesterday, actually, where there's a statement that the very nature of ChatGPT threatens humanity as we know it. I have never seen that in a lawsuit in 28 years.
Unbelievable. What do you think will be the outcome of that lawsuit? I think
you're going to see something on the scale of how Facebook and Google have been slammed in lawsuits with data privacy violations globally. I think AI is here to stay and the damage is already done and it can't be pulled back. It's going to have to be harnessed. There's going to have to be guidelines and law set. You know, there's committees, you know, that have already been put together, you know, at government levels to harness this. So it's here. It can be a great tool. It really can. And I've used it a couple of times for my own work to test it out, to create an email campaign or some social media post or, you know, but there's a lot of issues with it right now. So you just have to be really careful. One thing that I am seeing is a new job skill and a job title that's going to come out is going to be a prompt engineer. And there's already jobs out there for prompt engineering. So it's here to stay. It's a good tool, but we have to be very mindful of it and be careful what we're feeding it, but also watch that it doesn't start ingesting itself. There was another article out there about what happens when it ingests itself. And I posted it to LinkedIn, and one of my network connections made a comment that it sounded a little bit like inbreeding. So it's a trepidatious technology for sure.
I can see, and you know, one of the strong points of ChatGPT is writing content. Mm-hmm. I don't know if lawyers will use ChatGPT to write their own briefs.
So did you hear about the case in the Southern District of New York where a lawyer wrote a brief and he used ChatGPT to do it. It quoted 6 cases that were completely hallucinated. And he submitted it. And yeah, it's a big deal. It has sent huge waves through the legal community. And this is the kind of thing that we watch out for. Like it's, again, it be careful of chasing shiny squirrels.
You're absolutely right there. Yeah, that's something that I've noticed in ChatGPT. There is some errors. It's not perfect. Like I was asking some type of sport question. It's like, no, this is wrong. This guy did not break this record, or this guy didn't do this and that. So it's definitely in the early process, but like you were saying, Rogo, it is here to stay. It's irreversible. So tell us about your company's name. How did you come up with it? And the Phoenix Rising.
RPC Strategy stands for Rising Phoenix Consulting. And this is a story that I'm not sure you were prepared for when you asked the question. So in 2012, my mom was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and she also had heart disease. And that was, you know, I knew I was going to take some time off to kind of help, you know, figure out what needed to happen with the situation. I'm the oldest child in the family. So, you know, I took some time off, but at the same time, I was diagnosed with fibroid tumors and eventually breast cancer. And so during that 2 years, I quit my job to help take care of my mom, but then these things happened with me. And that's what catapulted me into business for myself. And so to make a long story short, from 2012 until now, there were several ups and downs between being in business, having health issues, battling cancer, my mom passing away, just, you know, things that happened personally after that happened and my life unraveling. You know, leaving Alabama, everything I'd ever known for 36 years, and moving to Florida and starting a new life, knowing nobody and, you know, not having anything. And it got worse before it got better. And, you know, going through an epic set of tragic events, not being able to control anything, and truly just losing absolutely everything, my health, my wealth, my ability to provide for myself. You know, if you're familiar with the Bible, there's a story about Job. It was very similar to that. And Job, Joseph, and Abraham. So, and I went through all of that. And then just the slow rebuild and rebuilding my life and recovering from those things. And as I, when I had the round table, when I shut it down the first time after my mom had passed away and I still was battling breast cancer, this was 2014. It was a really difficult decision for me to make. I made a name for myself and it had meant something to a lot of people. I did the round table programs in several cities. And I finally got to the place where I just was out of steam. I was not finished with my own cancer journey and I had to take care of myself. And I definitely didn't have any money. Money was gone by then. If you've ever been an entrepreneur and started your own business, like, you know, the journey, right? And so I put this email together and I had a video of Dylan Thomas reading his poem, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. He wrote that for his dad when his dad was dying, and his dad was ready to go, but Dylan Thomas was not ready to let him go. And so it's this very special poem about, you know, Dylan just basically asking his father to fight, don't let go, right? Don't go let into this so easily. And it went along with the story of what my mom and I had been through and how difficult it was for me to make this decision to shut down the round table, but I had to, it was time. And so I put this beautiful email together. I embedded the video. I sent it out to my entire database And within 20 minutes, I had to walk away because I received hundreds of emails from people I never knew were following me or paying attention to what I had been doing. I had a massive following and did not realize that because I didn't necessarily see them at programs when we do programs. And I was in tears. The messages of support that were coming through, I was in complete tears. And a couple of the emails that came through made statements, "We hope to see the Phoenix rise again." And so years later, when I relaunched RPC Strategies, because like I said, some law firms and tech vendors started reaching out, I made the decision to name RPC Rising Phoenix Consulting in honor of my clients, to thank them for the support that they had given me during that time.
The journey.
The journey.
That's amazing.
I am the Phoenix.
You're the Phoenix.
They do. They call me a Phoenix. So. That's what it is. That's where the name comes from.
So now you moved to South Florida. As you mentioned before, tell us your journey down here and how is the landscape working with attorneys down here?
Is this a PG audience?
It could be PG-13 if you want.
So after everything happened with my mom and me, and she'd passed away, and you know, I finished my cancer journey about a year, and I, you know, relaunched the Roundtable. I made the decision in 2016 because I had a lot of business in Florida. We were doing roundtables in Tampa, Orlando, and Miami. And after everything that happened, I just, you know, I thought, you know, it's time for me to have a new life, to have the life I want. And the opportunity to move to Florida, I chased a boy and that lasted for about a year and we went our separate ways and it was totally amicable, but, and he was a little bit younger, quite a bit younger actually. So I became a cougar, but that's how I got to Florida. And I moved to Fort Lauderdale, spent a year there. And then I realized just as my life was evolving and I was rebuilding and, you know, trying to go back to work as an employee, not realizing that God really had designed me to be an entrepreneur. And I had the opportunity to bounce around. So I thought, I have nothing holding me back. I have nothing tying me down. I can go explore. So I lived in Fort Lauderdale for a year. I lived in West Palm for a couple of years. I moved to Miami during the pandemic. And lived there for a year and experienced Miami. And I swear I am convinced that the Earth's axis pivots on Miami. It's the most amazing place, but 1 year was plenty enough. And then I ended up back in West Palm for a couple of years, focused on RPC. And I'm actually on my way back to Fort Lauderdale to settle in and plant some roots.
Yeah, that's something... like if you guys don't live in the Fort Lauderdale, I'm talking to the audience. Fort Lauderdale is right in the middle of Miami and West Palm. And I think what Melissa's doing is a great move because you're in the middle of everything. So can you tell us your services that you provide for your business?
Yeah. So we focus strictly on B2B and we provide marketing and sales consulting services. So and it's very much an organic approach because B2B is a long sales cycle, but it's marketing from, you know, doing an audit of, first of all, your tech stack, your buyer personas, writing out buyer personas for you, because you know, marketing and sales is not about you. It's not about your features and benefits. It's about who is your target buyer. Do you know who they are? Do you know what their business goals are, what their pain points are, and what's standing in the way of them accomplishing their goals. And so that's how we approach marketing and content, blog articles, sales collateral, copy for websites, you know, whatever. But so creating that messaging, but then also distributing that message through the channels where they get their information through social, mostly LinkedIn, some on YouTube, email campaigns, but then, you know, over time using those analytics reports, not just for the analytics themselves, but how do you use the analytics reports to see where your prospects are? What kind of warm prospects do you have? Like when you're doing email campaigns, you know, is your website synced to your CRM? When people fill out a form, is it going into the CRM? Is it creating a lead record? Is it triggering a workflow that notifies you, maybe sends them a nice email on your behalf until you can get in touch with them? is your CRM synced to your email campaign so they go into your list and you start nurturing them. And, you know, then there's the subscriber score from the campaign to the CRM. So it's more than just your opens and clicks. You know, first of all, let's make sure you've got, you know, a national average or better. But after 2 or 3 months, you should start looking beyond opens and clicks at scoring systems to see who's really engaging more often, and then start looking through those and identifying what those relationships are and are there prospecting opportunities there. And if so, what are, you know, which campaigns are they opening? What are they interested in? What are they reading that you're sending out? So it informs your sales team, you know, how to reach out. So it's not a cold, you know. And then beyond that, we do coaching on sales process, setting up the CRM the correct way, deal flow, things like that. We produce events. So it's very organic. It's, but it's from your tech stack all the way through to your sales process. And if you do it right, then you definitely can hit a 30% or better close rate. I personally don't put anything on my calendar unless it's 75% qualified. And then beyond that, we have a 30% or better close rate year over year.
So do you work mostly with lawyers, or have you kind of reached out to other industries?
So I'm really just in law right now. And most of our clients are legal technology vendors. I mean, we do occasionally have companies and technology companies outside of legal, but, you know, like I said, the framework that we have is a B2B framework. And I'm really selective to make sure that it's something we're looking for. We love working with startups. It's a hard road for both sides, but we love working with startups. It's really fun to help build that and to, you know, help see some of their successes and what have you. But I'm really good about qualifying, but we're also looking for technologies that are not cookie cutter. We're looking for technologies that really do have a differentiator and are making a difference in the market, in the industry that they're trying to serve. And it's really fun to be a part of that journey with them.
No, that's great. I think working, because I also work with attorneys as well. And I don't know about you, but it feels like they have a budget to work with.
Law firms, yeah. Law firms, legal tech. And we're actually starting to work with investors now too, venture capital. So, and there's definitely a difference in the investment levels in venture capital and private equity over 23. You know, cash flow is flush and almost free for the last couple of years, but VC has really tightened down. And, you know, there's a big conversation about where are these companies going to get money and capital from? Well, if the capital from investments has dried up, you have to actually sell your product or sell your service. So, but yeah, we, law firms, legal tech, they've all got budgets. It's just a matter of how much to allocate. What are your goals? What's the purpose? And what are the realistic expectations? Because B2C marketing is very different from B2B marketing. And the sales, the way that you communicate, the amount of budget you spend on B2C is often a lot larger than B2B. But the sales cycle for B2B is longer too. So it's really working with prospects and clients to help them understand the realistic expectations. Because you can get down the road, and if they're not seeing things they think they should, you know, that's a awkward conversation to have. But, you know, what is marketing's purpose? What is sales purpose? You know, what kind of leads are both of them? Both of them are supposed to be generating leads. Marketing's more about brand awareness and building trust and reputation, you know, and there's lead generation there from engagement and things like that, but they may not necessarily be revenue generating leads. Sales is responsible for producing revenue generating leads. But you've got to make sure that both marketing and sales are communicating so that they both understand who the buyer is, what the goals are, and how to frame the messaging so that they're both speaking the same message, whether it's through the marketing channels or through the sales follow-ups.
One thing that you, like you were saying, you really look at the analytics, mm-hmm. you know, where are things trending? And I think it's very important that those small little details, you know, hey, yes, we should go in that direction because the data says it. So right. that's very key.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
How is that going to feed sales?
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, it's not just about opens and clicks. It's What's that scoring system? How is that going to feed sales? Everything that we're doing in marketing should be building that pathway to sales for the sales team.
And you can back it up, show the lawyer. Lawyer loves to see the results. Hey, here's the charts. Where did you get that drive from?
Honestly, I think it's my Italian mafia roots. Random. I don't know where the drive comes from. I've always been this way. But yeah, as I've dug into my own family, my family history, I have direct ties to the Sicilian mafia. So I think that's the only thing I can come up with. It's my
mafia.
That
could be it. Yeah, because neither your dad or your mom are entrepreneurs.
No, neither one.
Or your uncles or aunts, none of them. Mm-mm. That's nope. Amazing.
Yeah,
because usually when I meet business guys, like they used to have an uncle or a grandfather that did something, but really rare where I meet
every woman on both sides of my family is married, divorced, married, and with kids. And I don't have children. And I was married a long time ago, but I've been single for the majority of my life. So I actually asked one of my cousins on my dad's side one time. I was like, "Are you sure I'm not adopted? Like, where did I come from?" She's like, "No, I was there when you were baby." She goes, "You're part of this family.
Trust me."
Trust me.
All right, let's go random.
Mafia roots. It's got to be my mafia roots.
It's got to be, yeah. I mean, Rogo, what is the best way to reach you online?
The best way to reach me online is our website, risingphoenix.guru, or you can email me. We have a different domain because we're in the process of changing, rogo@rpcgrowthstrategies.com. Or certainly find me on LinkedIn, Melissa Rogo Rogozinski. It's pretty easy to find me. Would love to connect and mentor, coach, or help any new clients.
LinkedIn, is that something that you tackle a lot every day?
I'm a little bit of a LinkedIn influencer in my space. Yeah. So LinkedIn is where B2B is at.
Yeah. I love LinkedIn. It's more important than Facebook or perhaps Instagram. I mean, there's some argument with that one, but
I like LinkedIn because I feel like people are still camaraderie and they're developing relationships and stuff there, but I feel like it's more thought leadership, more knowledge based. People are, making a name for themselves, putting out good content, but they're also sharing good content with others. And it's LinkedIn is a fantastic source, I think, for some good educational material or the content that businesses are, facing.
Yeah. And I've gotten a few clients from there and they've been enhancing like lately. They've added like those audio spaces that you see on Twitter and Clubhouse. They've been adding that lately and something to definitely explore. It's like a digital networking meeting, I call it.
LinkedIn is really good too, like for companies or people who don't maybe have their own website. You can write good content and you can post blog articles to your own profile. And so I did that for a long time before I ever had a website. And now I've got probably 40 something blog articles up there too, but it's just a tremendous resource to promote yourself as a business professional. And that's what it is. It's a business professional's platform. It's not just who you're hanging out with on the weekend social platform. But there's also a lot of camaraderie there. And I find a lot of business professionals really support each other. Like, the ups and downs of the employment market, I'll see in something in somebody else's thread that somebody's looking for a job and go post it on my own feed, just for exposure. And I see people doing things like that to, really help each other out. So LinkedIn's where it's at if you're a business professional.
There you have it. Go to risingphoenix.guru. My first time I see that domain, then I know that existed. I should tell a few of my clients that they probably buy it. And look up, you can search Rogo on LinkedIn and you can find Melissa like right off the bat.
I'm there. So. Come connect with me.
Well, there you have it. Melissa, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
St. Leon, it was a delight and a pleasure. And I'm so, so happy to reconnect with you. And certainly when I move back to Fort Lauderdale, getting together a little bit more frequently.